Yeah, I would.
This guy says it at one, bro. At one.
Not even that. Nah, because you came with these Utah. But
why you guys waste the last moment?
Okay, hello.
We were literally just in silence for like 20 seconds. Man waited to that last.
No, that's why. Hello, everybody. welcome to the best kept secret podcast, aka the podcast about nothing. Today, I am your host, Bilo My Just. And obviously, I'm never alone. I'm with the brothers, CZ Ray and Dwayson Blaze. How are you gents doing?
The bros.
Hey, Bilo, when was the last time you hosted an episode, bruh?
Yo. How do you mean? Surely it was like last year.
Why were you using that voice, bro? Wasn't your natural voice.
Which voice?
That you're speaking it. The one you use for the intro, bro.
Dog, I was just adding something different, like extra flavor. Extra flavor, extra splash, or whatever, yeah.
My bad, OG.
Yeah, bro.
My fault, OG.
How you guys doing? Yeah? How's life? How's everything?
Hey, man. You know, what can we say? Life is life, you know. It's good. It's okay. But yeah, you know, it's Ramadan. So Ramadan Mubarak to all the brothers and sisters out there. Exactly. But other than that, chilling, bruv. What can I say? Alive.
Yeah, what are you saying?
Ah, bro, just sipping on a milk stout, man. You know, enjoying old age.
Man's gonna drink the milk for the bones, dog.
Exactly. Trying to grow strong, bros. Yeah, calcium and all that, you know. So
yeah, man.
That's what we on right now.
But nah, for me, I'm all good, gents. You know, just going through the motions. But yeah, today I think the reason why Caesar wants me to host is because today is an episode about nothing. So if you've joined us before, these are normally just the episodes where we just talk about the music industry and just the state of the game as a whole. And yeah, man, I think this often leads to some very, very nice arguments, nice conversation and debate and all that. So yeah, we're just gonna hop straight in.
Banter.
So yeah, banter. So yeah, man, I think what I want to kind of get into now, I think you guys can see that lately we've had quite a few artists popping up out of nowhere, quote unquote. You know, obviously for us, I think for some artists, we've kind of seen the groundwork and we've seen how they've gotten to where they are. And I think a lot of people that are into music, they see where these artists sort of come from. But I guess the general population, or, you know, people who kind of listen to things from a mainstream, think that these guys just popped out of nowhere. So the topic that we're really getting into is industry plants, the topic of industry plants. So just to give you a quick definition, I guess, of what an industry plant is considered as, I think it's just considered an artist who pops up out of nowhere, who experiences a level of success very, very quickly. So I think people tend to make the assumption that either it's by their connections, either the people that they're around, the spaces that they found themselves in, the labels pushing them, but pretty much no work from their end. And I think people often label them as either talentless or lacking substance, for lack of better words. So firstly, I just want to kind of get into that and kind of figure out where your guys' minds are with this whole term industry plants. And then from there, we're going to dive a little bit deeper.
Hey man, I think the term industry plant is now just used and it's just thrown around very casually now, you know. And I think we've lost sight or we've lost meaning of what it is really. And so I feel like now people are just calling anybody who pops up out of quote unquote nowhere as an industry plant, you know, and completely ignoring the groundwork that a lot of these artists have put in over the years. Because ultimately in the mainstream, we only see, you know, like the end result, like the person now getting their glow up, you can call it that, you get me. But these people put in a lot of work, and honestly, I just feel like it's weird, bro. It's really weird. And I'm kind of over the whole thing of, oh, this person is an industry plant, you know, industry plant this, industry plant that, when the people who are shouting out these words, they can't even like give you like a legitimate example of an industry plant that they speak of. So I'm just like, what are we talking about then? What are we really saying? You get me? And so I understand your definition, the one that you just told now below, and I get that, but I feel like for the most part around the industry, we don't use that term the way it's supposed to be used now. That's how I feel about the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And just to name the so-called industry plants that I've heard over the years, like Billie Eilish was considered an industry plant at a stage. Olivia Rodrigo was considered an industry plant at a stage. Tyler is considered one by some. Literally, Tyler's considered one by some. I think the biggest one as of late is this new guy, Forbats. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he's sitting on 9 million streams on Spotify, 9 million monthly listeners on Spotify with only 3 songs out. So yeah, I guess it's there. But yeah, Dwayze, what do you say?
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with CZ's sentiment. Like, I just think that nowadays it's very, 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 it's a minuscule thing to call somebody an industry plant, because I think the metrics apply to all artists now. Like, nowadays we see artists popping up out of nowhere, all these streams, you know, and like, I think TikTok itself kind of took away that moniker, like, of industry plant. Yeah. Because now we just started to see all these people just pop up out of nowhere and get signed. And look, I've always said as well, I've never really had a problem with it if the so-called planted artist is actually talented. Like, I really don't have a problem with it, honestly. To me, it's no different from getting discovered, I guess, the virtuous way. You know what I mean? Like, having the story, oh, this guy, he was grinding for this amount of time, he did this. It doesn't really matter to me, especially nowadays, because people seem to care more about the songs than the artist anyway. So it's not even you know, in order to have that longevity as an artist, it doesn't matter how much the label throws at you when nobody knew you. It really doesn't matter. It's what matters, what you do when you're in the game now. So for me, industry plant now, it's like, it's kind of irrelevant, bro. You know what I mean?
I hear you, Dwayze, in terms of that, because obviously, like, it's that thing that you're saying. A lot of people now are getting more attached to the songs than the actual people or than the actual artists.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's probably maybe a reason, just because there's a lot of music dropping from so many different places. So sometimes you like the sound of something and you're like, shit, this bangs. But do you think, let's say for someone who actually is an industry plant, because let's name further names. The likes of Ice Spice have been labeled an industry plant. Sexy Red has been labeled an industry plant, etc. Let's say a person actually is one. Do you think it's fair to even call it a negative thing? Like, is there anything wrong with that? Or is it just social media and people just hating for the sake of hating? Or is there actually an issue or a problem that needs to be addressed in terms of this whole thing?
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, the music has got to come first, right? Is the music good? That's the first
industry
thing.
Industry plant or not?
Exactly. That's the first thing. Is the music good? But other than that, I just feel like as a society, we have lost our ability to hate correctly. I thrive on hate.
People should hate.
Like I said, he thrives. He thrives on the hate.
I just feel like if we're going to hate, let's hate with direction. You know, I think the art of hate, we've lost it. Hate is such a
trust me, South Africans still have that gene, dog.
Well, definitely. I mean, yeah, of course. But ultimately, you know, I just feel like as consumers of music, we are just so quick to, you know, to throw that hate and throw that shade on these people. I'll give you an example. So there's this band that I've been listening to. The name of the band is called The Last Dinner Party. That's the name of the band. They came out last year, and then they dropped their debut album, I think a month ago, but basically this year, they dropped their debut album. In my opinion, this band makes great music. So basically, it's like, I think, 5 or 6 white girls that make up the band. Yeah. And, you know, they've been making waves. Ultimately, it's a group of girls who come from quite wealthy families. They have a wealthy background, which means they have the resources to be independent as they are right now. And so I think one of the leaders of the band, the vocalist or something, had an interview and she said something which was misquoted, and then it sort of blew up. And then people are like, you know, these people are talking from a place of privilege. You know, this is why we hate industry plants, you know, this and that. They don't deserve to be here. Other bands should be here, not these people. And look, at the end of the day, like I said, I'm not against hate, you know, but ultimately, what are we hating on? Because first of all, that whole thing was a misquote. But my question is, say we take out this band, who would we put in place of them? Because people are making it seem like these people are taking the place of someone else who should be in that position. You get me? And so I just feel like it's an excuse. You know, it's a cheap excuse. Example, the Ice Spice in them. You guys mentioned Ice Spice. You mentioned Sexy Red and a whole bunch of other people, right? If you take Ice Spice, take her out of this equation, who would replace her? Who
probably
is she taking?
Just like her too.
No, 100%. Right. That's the thing. And it could have been...
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And the thing is, like, there are those exact people on the ground. Like, if you listen to, like, Ice Spice's music, sure, there's definitely someone who's there somewhere that's making the exact same type of sound, feel, whatever. So, exactly. Dwayne, I hear you and you're like, they'll probably just put in that person to fill the exact same spot, to be fair.
No, definitely, definitely. Because I just feel like, bro, like... Kind of like what Caesar's saying, bro. I could pump millions into the so-called industry plant and then they flop. And I could put 10,000 into an independent artist and we go up. So for me, it doesn't really matter, bro. Like, it really doesn't matter. Whichever way you make it, bro, hey, that's on you, dog. You know what I'm saying? If you can sustain yourself at the top, because at the end of the day, let's admit, we want to cry industry plant. Like, let's say, for instance, Ice Spice. But Ice Spice has fans, bro. You know what I mean? She has fans. People are pushing the music. Like, fortunately, whatever you want to call it, but it is what it is. So at the end of the day, you can't really knock someone for getting into the game. However they got into the game, some people sold crack. Yeah. Some people sold their booty. I don't know, bro. You know what I mean? You know, everyone has their way into the game, bro. If you stay in the game... you know, I respect it. Like, if you manage to find your way and navigate, because that's really the hardest part for me, is really getting people to continue believing and continuously support the music and buy into whatever it is you're selling. So for me, it really doesn't matter. The only thing I would say that bothers me about it would be the part about lying about it. Like, let's say, for instance, like they say with Baby Keem, like, he told this whole story of how, oh no, he just sent beats to TDE and, you know, miraculously he got a placement. And obviously that was not the story. You know, further down the line we see that's Kendrick's cousin, you know? So,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, do we like Keem? Yes, we love Keem. Mm. So, hey, man, it is what it is.
I actually should have met him.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, even with, you know, with the whole Keem situation, people were trying to like downplay I guess, you know, his work and his grind. And when you look back, you know, Keem was working with K-Dot early on. Look at Kendrick's song credits, you know,
and people don't see that part. That's the problem.
Exactly. Mm. They don't see that. This man was there writing and producing with and for Kendrick years ago, and he's credited, and there's videos around the internet that you can see. You get me? But yeah, man, I just feel like we as the fans are not doing enough research before we open our mouths and say, hey man, nah, this person is an industry plant, this person was just put here, you know, to do this X and Y and Z, whatever, you know. At the end of the day, bro, Keem makes great music, you know. And like you said, Blaze, once you're there, once you've made it, whichever way you made it, can you sustain yourself? You know, can you keep it
and
going?
Keem's been making music even before then, bro.
Yeah, way before. You get me? Goes back to what I was saying earlier. People started all the way back early on, and we only said
the real stuff. This is the real stuff.
Yeah, I just say, just tell me the truth, bro. That's all. Just tell me the truth of your come up. As long as you don't lie to me, I'm fine with you.
Yeah, bro. Don't lie, guys. Don't lie on the public platform. You know, I respect people. I respect your grind.
Exactly. And that's what matters.
Be proud of your grind, bro. Just be proud of it. You get me? But also, like I said, and I keep saying, I feel like as consumers, we need to do a better job of understanding, you know, what it is that we are hating on, what it is that we are talking about. Industry plant this, industry plant that. I mean, come on, bro. Is the
and why does
good?
That matter, bro? If you're rich, poor, music has got nothing to do with that, bro.
And I mean, that happens in everything, to be fair.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's
true. Going back to that band I was talking about, they are rich. Rich white people could be doing other evil things with their time, but they just decided to make music.
You
it
don't
could
have
be
to
worse.
Be broke to make art.
You know, think of like what white people are doing out there. You get me? This band could be doing
exactly
true. A lot more true. Evil than just making music.
The least that's of our worries.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's where I am, bro. I don't know.
I hear that.
I don't know.
I hear that.
Mm.
So basically, just to summarize, is that the hate is misguided. There's really no issue with it. I mean, it is what it is. We just, the artists are out here to create art, so it doesn't really matter where it all came from, especially if it's like, let's say, the fans and everything that comes after is organic. Exactly. So yeah, I hear you guys with regards to that, but I think I just want to touch on something that you said, Dwayne, where you're saying that people are obviously now, I think we're in a space where there's a lot of ways to kind of come up and kind of put yourself into the spotlight, with TikTok being one of the biggest things as of late. So obviously in Feb, I think at the start of Feb, there was that announcement that Universal Music Group and TikTok had a bit of a disagreement in terms of the licensing. Yes. I don't know where that stutter came from.
What's wrong with this?
But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, there was an
it
issue
happens,
with
it
regards
happens.
To the licensing. It happens. Sorry, guys. I'm also
glitch.
Into this.
It's a glitch.
But yeah, there was some issues with the licensing, and now all artists that are under the Universal Music Group have their music removed from TikTok. So obviously, this has an impact, I guess, just from regular TikTok users in terms of their content and dances, etc. But what do you guys think the effect is of this on the game? At this current point in time, I mean, it's been a month now, or just over a month, and we haven't really heard anything in terms of UMG putting their music back on. So what do you think, or how do you think this is going to affect the game going forward?
Yeah, this is a really interesting question. And about a month or two before Universal went public and, you know, said they're removing the music, I was already having conversations with one of my friends, and ultimately what I said to her was that if Universal does go through with this decision to remove all their music from TikTok, the positive thing that I can see from there would be that it would give independent artists more of an opportunity for their music to be discovered on TikTok, because as you guys know, TikTok relies a lot on music for their videos, right? Content creators use a lot of music, and that is how other people are discovered, is through the song that was used on a particular video. Example, there's this guy, his name is Joel Carey, and he is famous because he is a well-loved character on Stranger Things, but he also makes music on the side as Joe, DJO. That's his music name. And he released an album maybe 2 years ago now. fantastic, like, indie rock album vibe, you know, good pop stuff over there, but it didn't really take off the way it was supposed to. And then cut to a month ago, after Universal had pulled out the songs from their platform. Now, I'm not saying that Joe's success is directly linked to Universal thing, but it's just an example of how he was now discovered. You know, his song started trending on TikTok, started getting millions and millions and millions and millions of plays on TikTok. And now it almost feels like he has just released his album. It almost feels like it's a brand new song that he is promoting. He is currently on a media press tour, talking to radio stations, promoting this song as if it just dropped last week. And so if there's one thing I can take from it, a positive, is that it's given independent artists an opportunity. But of course, there's negatives, which we can talk about later as well. But yeah.
That's how it is. Guys, what do you say?
I agree with that. I do think that it's going to help a lot more independent artists. It's just freeing up more space, you know. I think when it comes to TikTok, though, and Universal, I think it's going to be tough for Universal, really, because this might be, in my eyes, the shifting of the, what can I say, like the monopolization of music from, you know, Universal or by Universal. Because I think it's kind of a tough move to ignore or to abandon the space where you're getting the most traction for your artists, you know? As you 100%. Said, TikTok is the place right now where, you know, new artists are discovered, and even legacy acts are having like a second life there sometimes. A lot of their old songs get remixed and brought back. So I think it's not the best move from Universal, honestly, because I just don't think. And, you know, I see another move. They're trying to kind of start their own licensing platform, because I think what the problem here is just licensing. And I think the catalog is becoming too expensive for TikTok to keep renewing, you know? So
Yeah. Because I was actually about to ask. Sorry, carry on.
Now you can ask away, bro.
Yeah, because I was about to ask, like, obviously this is maybe just a side thing. I know Caesar's like, it boosts independence in terms of them entering the space. But don't you think for like Universal themselves, or not even Universal, the artists under Universal, don't you think they'd be feeling away now, because it feels like the label is taking food out of their mouth?
That's the thing. That's exactly what.
Because now it's like, you know what? Yeah, I could be getting 2 million views on my video, on my thing for my song. That's going to give me more streams on one of the biggest platforms. And now that that's taken away from me, I have to resort to go back to mainstream advertising, go back to Insta, go back to X. Whereas these apps probably aren't as powerful as TikTok.
Exactly. So basically, they're cutting off the artists from the market, basically, because the market is basically on TikTok, you know. So at the end of the day, I don't see it as the best move, because I don't know. We're in a time in music where it's not like the old days where there was a formula to breaking an artist, where you knew, okay, A, B, C, and D break the artist. Now we're in a whole new space, a whole new era. And I think it's also dangerous for Universal to do something like this when there's so many smaller boutique labels now that, you know, kind of operate in this independent realm, quote unquote. Yeah. And I think they still have the same ability as the labels to reach the masses, and maybe not the same, but we have the same tools more or less now, you know. So I think a lot of the power could start to now shift to smaller creators and smaller artists and the songwriters, which I think is necessary anyway, because at the end of the day, this system that we currently have now, when it comes to streaming, when it comes to TikTok, it's not benefiting the artists, bro. It's not really benefiting the artists. The only benefit to TikTok is that it's exposure. It's where the masses are. It's where my song is, where I'm gonna have a chance to actually make it in this game nowadays, you know. But other than that, there needs to be more facilities and infrastructure
where I feel like artists can be more in control of where the rights of their music are going to, how much they're actually getting for their work, for, you know, I just think there needs to be more control on that side anyway. So I think it's a step in the right direction for independent artists, but yeah, for the labels, I don't know. I don't know about that one. At least for Universal, I don't know. Yeah. I know Sony and the rest like you had are a point good as well.
Mm. Yeah.
I think one of the big issues with this thing, with this battle between Universal and TikTok, was the fact that the streams, TikTok wasn't willing to pay, you know, money to these artists for the streaming numbers that they were making on the app. But then, so if you talk to some other artists, they will tell you that, look, I don't really care, because we weren't getting paid a lot of money. We weren't making a lot of money from those videos anyway. In general, from the streams, as we know, right, the whole streaming platform thing with the artists has been an ongoing issue for a minute now.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, artists will tell you that, you know, they, I think for like every 1,000 streams, they get paid like 0.000 something cent, like, which is crazy.
Exactly.
That's actually horrible, bro. Like, you can take 1,000 streams and make nothing.
At 0.001 cent. Ah, come on.
Yeah, 0.001 cent per 1,000 streams.
Right.
So now, imagine you hit 1,000,000 streams and then you make a little bit of money, but, and then consider 20% goes to, you know, you have to do the splits, producers, writers, whatever.
Exactly.
Label takes a big chunk of that as well. By the end of all of those splits, what are you really left with?
Exactly.
You don't have money going back into your craft. And let's not
forget, the label takes twice as well. You don't have money. The label takes twice, because they also in bed with the streaming platforms. They got deals with the platforms too. So they basically take it from the artist twice, man. You know, it's crazy.
Basically, you do those splits, you have to give your management money. And so by the time it's all done, you don't really have a lot of money to put back into your thing. That's why it's been so difficult for artists to go on tour, because it's just simply becoming non-feasible. Like, it's almost impossible to put on a tour now as an artist, because touring actually requires a lot of money.
And that's where you get
and your artists most money, not making
and that's crazy. That
money.
That's crazy. Right?
Yeah. And so, going back to now your point, Grace, we are saying that, you know, artists, we need to have a place where you can be guaranteed that you know where your streams are coming from, and you sort of have some sort of control of how much you're making from this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys are aware, but James Blake in the last couple of weeks has been making headlines because of this exact thing we're talking about now. And he recently teamed up with this other company that has been trying to address this issue. And this company is called Vault.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much you guys know about this thing, but basically with Vault is that you, as an artist, you create your profile on there and your fans can then subscribe to you as the artist for like $5 a month. And through that, you as the artist, you decide what you're releasing, when you're releasing it. You don't have to play the streaming game. You don't have to play the label game. Direct trying to find to a hit consumer before you can do anything. You know, find a trending dance, whatever. You don't have to do any of that stuff. All the people who are there who have subscribed are people who actually care and support you. And so you can actually get through to the fans in real time directly. No label involved. And so the last few days, James Blake has been sharing his unreleased music, unreleased collaborations, and it's really cool because when you go onto that thing, you can also just see like live interactions with like the other fans who are there, live feedback on like a demo that he's working on. You know, he's sharing exclusives. He's like, yo, this is what I'm working on with Jid and Anderson Park or something like that.
Yeah.
And you get all of those exclusives right there. So now imagine if you, as one artist, even if you're an independent, small artist, you have 1,000 people signing up, $5 a month, each person. No cuts for like label taking their cut, you know, from this thing, no splits like that. You're just splitting with your producers, songwriters, and of course, management. It becomes a bit more structured.
Yeah.
It gives the artist a bit more control. Right now, that seems to be the solution. I don't know what's going to happen because you have to consider things like people leaking stuff now from these things, right? Mm. From these rooms. I don't know. It's still too early. Because like I said, this thing is only literally like, at the time of recording this, it's only been out there for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I like the idea in practice, and I like it in theory. I just think in practice though, because it's like, for, let's say you see this, let's actually take you for example. You listen to a lot of music. I'd say that maybe, let's say your favorite artists are only a handful. But are you willing to pay that amount of money for, let's say, 10 to 15 artists that you really, really are passionate about? How does that now, you know what I mean? In terms of, obviously, for the independent guy, if he can get 1,000 people, but let's take those 1,000 people. Out of those 1,000 people, probably all of them listen to Drake, and they would probably subscribe to a Drake Vault situation or a future Vault situation, and to focus on that one independent artist. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I like the sound of it, but it's also like, ish, I know me, if I were to subscribe to that, where my priorities would go, and I probably wouldn't put in money into those independents, and that obviously affects them. Obviously, in different cases, it could be different, but I think that's also something to kind of just look out for, or something to consider. I mean, even if we look at it like from an iTunes perspective, we know that the artists make more off iTunes, but some people don't buy the song. So yeah, a theory, but practice, yeah, I think it's a matter of waiting and
yeah,
seeing.
I do like that that sort of resolution that C says there with what's that platform called, what'd you say it's called?
Vault.
Yeah, I do think something like that is the next wave now. I think before you know it, I think most artists are just going to become independent after, you know, this next phase. Like, I see this as this TikTok thing, I see as the beginning of like this sort of revolution in a sense. Because here's my thing. I think like when it comes to music now, I think it just, there has to be like a decentralized sort of system now, where I feel like instead of us going to some platform, because once we go to a platform, it becomes tricky because then there's fees, then the platform gets to dictate how much they want to pay and how much a stream is worth. I think that has to be left behind. I think it has to be a thing now. Yeah. Like Cs was saying, it's direct to consumer, but it's also a thing where I think technology also has to help us in the sense where it kind of has to be a thing like a decentralized marketplace where we put our songs and albums and you dictate in that marketplace like how much. Like, if you want to stream a song, let's say, for instance, you want to stream a song. Let's say, let's just use Bitcoin, for example. You pay, like, a small amount of Bitcoin to the song that you're listening to. You don't pay a fee to, because like you said, bro, okay, cool. How many artists am I really going to be listening to when I pay that fee? Why don't I just pay the artist directly that I'm listening to? And yes, because I might not want to go to every like artist and subscribe to him and then pay $5 and what. Let there be a decentralized marketplace where niggas can say, all right, here's my song, here's my album. If you want to listen to my album, this is the small rate. Like, it'll be a small fee, but I'd rather pay that small fee to the person. You know what I mean? Because with streaming, it's split to everybody. Yeah, yeah. it's the breakdown. Yes, you get your certain streams, but it's still the artists at the top are benefiting. And what are they doing now? They're also decreasing. They're saying niggas who have less than 1,000 streams in a year or something don't get paid. So that's not even fair, bro. It's like, bro, what the hell? I don't even get money for those small streams I made, bro. You know, so it's better for me. If I want to listen to Pablo LT or whatever, I go to the blockchain or whatever, I listen to that nigga. My Bitcoin or whatever goes to his wallet and he gets my money directly from me. If I want to buy his album, I can choose a price to buy his album. I think that system, however it works, that's the next wave, because that's the only way that artists are really going to benefit, bro. You know?
I won't lie though, Dez. Like, as much as you say, I still don't see it, eh? Because like you said, I'm paying a specific fee, yes, to the artist. Mm-hmm. But how many people am I... Like, let's put it this way. Spotify charges me 69 rand a month. No? Yeah. But now, if I want to listen to Drake's new album, that's going to cost me 20 rand. Want to listen to Kanye's new album, paying him directly, that's going to cost me 20 rand. Want to listen to Kendrick's album, that's 20 rand. That's 60 rand already, three artists only. Whereas Spotify, 69 rand, I have access to absolutely everyone.
What I'm saying is...
So now I'm thinking about it. Now I'm thinking about it more from the consumer now. That as much as seems like it's a great idea... Mm-hmm. Definitely in theory, because the let's say the retailers in the sense of Spotify and Apple Music are losing that power and how much they distribute to the artist able to make more. But now as the consumer, you're giving up more now to have access to your favorite artists. And that's where the leaks will start coming in, because it's like, ish, I can't afford to. Then the guys will start and they'll be like, yo, I can make exposure from this or whatever it is. It just feels like, obviously, it's still early stages, so we'll see how things kind of unfold.
But what if it's like this?
I'm seeing that as well.
Just to quickly, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but like, what if it's like this? What if you basically, by you streaming the artist, let's say you collect a certain amount of like points or something, like let's say almost like a cash back or something, or an NFT or something of value that you get back that you can now... Like, because yes, obviously I can just leak the song and copy the song. But now what if that song now like actually has like actual value? Like if I buy that song if I stream the song on this marketplace. Now you don't pay, basically you pay a fraction. You don't pay like 20 rand to listen to Drake. Basically, like let's say, you know the way streams are now. Like you pay... your small thing, not for your the service fee. You pay like a small amount only for the songs you want to listen to, right? You're not paying like 20 rand here for this nigga, 20 rand for that nigga. So that way, let's say you pay one time 20 cents, let's say, for the stream or for the song or to play that song. Now this song is basically your shit. Now in terms of the leaking part, like, there's no way to really get around that, because hey, that's always gonna happen no matter what we do.
Leaks will always be there.
There's no way. But I just think in terms of just for make it better for the artists, it has just to be direct to consumer in some way. I'm not saying my method is the way, but one of these ways, it's gotta be direct to consumer, bro.
I think two things. So in terms of what Bilo's saying, you know, of how many consumers are going to be willing to pay, you know, all these different fees for the different artists that they want to listen to, right? Going back to the Vault situation, like you were saying, Bill, I listen to a whole bunch of, you know, different artists from, you know, and so having to pay $5 for every single artist would be crazy. I get it, right? And then it ends up putting you in a situation where now you have to basically decide, okay, well then which artists are the most important in my life, you know, which music do I need, you know, the most. And then that's where sort of like the smaller artists will start to lose, I guess, because it's like, ish, dude, you know, it's either you or like, I don't know, Florence and the Machine or whatever, you know.
That's
I get that. You know, that's the tricky part. That's the hard one. But also, I feel like the consumers, the mindset needs to change as well. I think that consumers need to realize just how much power they have, you know, when it comes to these big corporations and that. We hold a lot of power to change things.
Yeah.
And so I think if we can get into the mindset of actually being on the side of the artists and not on the side that is self-serving to us, we will be able to start to see major changes. I'm saying this because with the whole Vault thing especially, it's just made me realize that people forget how expensive it is to make music. Like, as an artist, it's expensive to make music. And as a consumer, you need to put yourself in the shoes of an artist. The artist has to pay producers, has to pay for studio sessions, has to pay for this and mix and mastering. And like I said, going back to the splits, the label takes a big cut of that. And then, you know, the writers and all these things. Making music is expensive. Like, it's actually an expensive thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think as consumers, we've lost sight of that, because you're going to get people on Twitter saying, if I am paying, if I have an iPhone, then I shouldn't have to pay for Apple Music or something crazy like that, right?
Yeah, but that
to me, that's what I'm saying, right? That's just one example of how people don't actually acknowledge how expensive it is to make music. You know, you're saying just because you bought an iPhone, now Apple Music should be free for you. You shouldn't be paying a monthly subscription. 10 years ago, bro, people were buying CDs, dog. We used to spend, it was $100 for a CD or something, right? Yeah. And you'd buy an album for all of your artists. If they release, you're going to go buy that album. $100 or whatever it was at the time. You know? So I feel like...
Yo, you see.
That mindset. We need to get that mindset back of, ish, I need to be willing to put money into this music that I want to listen to. Now, it just goes to the structures and the infrastructure in which we will be able to do that. In terms of the leaking stuff, this is where, you know, AI and the technology will have to come into play, because we need to get technology that protects the artists.
Yeah.
Think of, you know how in like Netflix or whatever, you can't screen record, you can't take a screenshot on these apps. If you're streaming on Netflix on the app, you can't take a screenshot, you can't screen record. That's the AI that's there to protect, you know, this data. And I think that we need people, smart people, who will be able to create those sort of systems for music. We can't, you know, leak, we can't record, we can't download it and, you know, and put it out there illegally.
Yeah.
They need to consider that as well. But yeah, that's where I am with that whole thing right now.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. I definitely think it's going to come down to technology as well. And I think also, maybe not a simple fix, but maybe a fix to the leaks is also, I just think it should be like the way that the NFT technology is kind of like, if you buy this, this is yours type of thing. So I think like when a song gets leaked, I think, as long as the person is always credited. Now, I don't know in terms of Fakaza and something like how you do that, because like I'm saying, like, okay, if this song is, let's say, you know how YouTube does the their, what do they call that shit? I forgot what
the YouTube Premium.
No, not YouTube Premium. Like basically when you have copyrighted content, right? It should be that same sort of system. Like, it should just flag it on the system that, okay, this person has, you know, downloaded this, and then they should automatically be charged somehow. I don't know how, you know what I'm saying? Somehow they must be charged. I don't know, however the technology will work, but I just think it has to be that. And just to quickly add on to what Cs was saying, bro, I also think when it comes to the consumer, I also think the consumer doesn't care that much anymore about music like that, to keep it honest. I don't think the consumer cares enough to say, you know what, I care so much about this artist, I'm going to make sure. There's very few very few fan bases that are like that nowadays, who are gonna support the artists in every single way possible. So that's another thing, you know, because like you said, the consumer's lazy now. Back in the days, they used to buy CDs, bro. They used to go buy CDs for every artist. What did Mpilo say?
Yeah.
Like, dog, I'm not trying to spend more than $10 for all these niggas. You know what I mean? That's how the consumer is now, bro. And that's just the truth of it. So it's tricky, bro. It's really tricky.
Yeah, because I mean, even think about it, like the time that was very different. Because I mean, the only other time you discover a new artist is radio. So there are only two big mediums. There's radio, and then you go to Musica and you buy the CD. So like now, obviously, you have Instagram, you have X, you have Reels, you have TikToks. You hear this music from
the consumer, all different
avenues, exposing you to more music, exposing you to more artists.
The consumer spoiled. You know they're not going to pay for that shit. They're like, dog, I hear music all the time. Why should I pay? But see the saying, this shit is expensive. Like, artists got to eat somehow. You know what I'm saying? You enjoy the music. Why don't you pay somehow? Nah, I don't pay for music. It's tough, bro.
But I mean, Doug, it's one of them ones where I think we'll just have to wait and see how it actually plays out. But yeah, I see we're reaching the end of our time here. So I just wanted to touch on this part. I think speaking about new artists and people that have entered the game, I think this is, we're in South Africa now. Now we're back in SA. One of our closest, say a colleague as well in the space, Yaz the Student, I'm now going by the name of Jakes, has dropped a project. I won't lie, I did not expect it. Obviously, there were some singles that were dropped before, but yeah, he dropped a project called Jump With Abandon. It's a 5-track EP that was dropped, and I won't lie, I was very interested because I was like, hey, what music is this? And you even have on Apple there, it's listed down as funk. So you guys, obviously, we're all big supporters of Yaz in terms of his podcast and now with his music. What are your guys' thoughts about Jump With Abandon?
I like it, man. It's nice to see people explore, you know, all the creative outlets, if you will, you know. It's just cool to see people just going for it, you know. And I remember I had spoken to Yaz, I think maybe 2 years ago now it was. We had lunch the one time, and he had briefly mentioned like the different things that he still wants to do in this entertainment industry, and this was one of them. But I thought it was going to be like something that's going to be like down the line, like in the distant future. And so when he announced that he was doing this, I'm like, oh, okay, that's dope. And so yeah, I was excited to, you know, to listen to the thing, bro. And yeah, it was an enjoyable experience, I can't lie. I enjoyed it.
Dwayne, what are you saying about it?
Yeah, I also didn't know what to expect. Like, this was interesting. I like the fact that it's funk as well. It's not something that we would have thought, okay, R&B, okay, this, that, that. Something.
Like, when last?
Exactly.
That's taking me back to Bruno Mars time.
But especially from South, you don't really hear people really delving into funk like that. So this was refreshing for me. Like, it was really interesting. And I think it was executed pretty well, you know. So I think, you know, just in terms of this being, I'm not sure if this is the first ever project from Yaz. I think it is, though. But like, for this to be your first project, it's pretty good, bro. I won't lie to you. It's a pretty good attempt. And for it to be something also quite left field. Nah, shout out, bro.
Yeah, because I remember specifically it was Don't Look Back and Gold. Those are the first two singles. So I remember Yaz shared those. And I listened and I was like, nah, this is actually going somewhere. And then I think this project as well kind of took a complete turn as well, because the singles weren't, let's say, completely funk. There was a bit of, you know, that R&B-esque or, you know, that pop-esque. There were just different elements that were kind of involved. There's also some rapping in there in some of the tracks. So now to see this little project come together, and now you can sort of feel the funk from start to finish, I think that was really, really nice. So yeah, I enjoyed this. I think as a starter, it was definitely a solid one. And yeah, just kind of looking forward to what's going to come afterwards and what the journey is going to look like. Because I mean, now look, podcast, film, music. Yeah, man, shout out.
All realms.
Don't Look Back was cool. Even after listening to, you know, the whole project, it's still one of my favorites on there. But I think there's this song, Never Too Far, featuring Who's Wiley. Definitely my favorite on the project. It just feels like a really complete song, and it feels like they were really, really having fun with it. Well, especially Wiley, or, you know, Who's Wiley. She, like, her vocal runs and, like, the inflections and just, like, the key changes that kept happening on that song. I think there were, like, three key changes near the end.
Yeah, the ending of that song was so fire.
Dude, I was like, okay, like, this is it, bro. So, yeah, shout out, man. Shout out Who's Wiley. And I kept seeing this name. I'm like, who's Wiley? I feel like I know this name. And then I did a bit of, like, thinking and looking back. And I realized that I met her about 2 years ago. We have a mutual friend. It was at the mutual friend's birthday party. And we started talking over there. And she has, like, a podcast. It's pretty cool. So everyone must just go check that out. But, yeah, I enjoyed this project overall, man. But, yeah. Don't Look Back and Never Too Far were definitely my standout.
My faves on this one were definitely, I think, Spine as well, because it was nice to hear Masilo. I think I haven't heard Masilo since that project. What was that project called?
Late Arrival or something. What was the project after that?
Yeah, it was, let me get it. Yeah, it was Jordan and Security Clearance. Security Clearance. Yeah, so I hadn't heard Masilo until that one, so super keen for that. And I think Gold in the project, obviously I listened to it as a single, but I think in this project kind of fit in well as well. And yeah, definitely that last track. And yeah, Dwayne, from you, what were your favorites here?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. For me, I loved Don't Look Back. You know, the cadence on there was on point. Vocals were so smooth. Drums, I think, could have been slightly more provocative, but it was all in all like a beautiful arrangement. Like, I really liked that song. I liked the intro, funny enough, or track number one, Spine, with Masilo. As you said, it was nice to hear from him. And I mean, this song was just like fun. It was funky, well produced. I think it was executed very well. Maybe the hook could have been slightly better, but like I said, for this to be an attempt at your first project, I just think, like, even the ideas that might not have come across exactly to a T, like, they still worked and they still were executed pretty well. So for me, that was nice too. And yeah, of course, Never Too Far, like Ziz was saying, bro, like, yo, just such a strong record for me. There were like very few instances of shakiness in the song, but I think overall, like, this was just like a musical feast, bro. There was so much going on in this song. The background vocals, you know, like the delivery, like just the switching of the tones, the, you know, everything on here was just like fun and experimental, and let's see how we can try and do this and let's extend this part. So this was really dope for me as well. So all in all, bro, I think, you know, a lot of these songs were just very solid efforts.
Yeah, now for sure. So, any final thoughts with regards to this before we lock up the ting?
Hey, man, guys, go support the artists. I always say, if you support the artists, you sustain the culture. So go out and do that, man. Yeah, and hopefully we can find a more permanent resolution to the whole streaming thing. Something that supports the artist quite well, you know. But everyone else, yeah, go check out Vault, go read up on it and see where you stand with the whole thing. And then, yeah, of course, shout out to Jake's Jump with Abandon. Enjoyable, really enjoyed this one. Good surprise, it was a nice surprise. So yeah, shout out to Jake's and everyone involved in, you know, in this project.
Yeah, Dwayne, your final thoughts there?
Yeah, man. Look, it's tricky times in the music industry, guys, but I do think there's, you know, there's a shift happening, and I think it's going to be in the favor of the artists. And I think that there's tools, there's platforms we have. We always speak about this. They're there. And just look at the stars of today. You know, these are artists who started from a TikTok, started from a YouTube, you know. A lot of your mainstream, I guess, you know, artists and whatnot have those stories. So I think the more the industry goes into the hands of the independents, the better it is for us to eat. You know what I mean? So I think
these are
positive times. In terms of the project from Jakes, I think, yeah, man, this is solid. This is something that I would love to see them build on and work on. And I love the music. I think it's refreshing. It's different. It's not run-of-the-mill stuff. So I'm really here for it. I'm glad that it was done. And yeah, let's see where it goes.
No, shout out. So just to recap for you, don't hate on Industry Plant. Support the artist. Listen to Jakes.
No, hate, guys. Hate is good.
Okay, no. Your hate mustn't be misguided. Okay, that's what it is. Yeah. Hate strong, but it mustn't be misguided. Support the artist. Listen to Jump With The Band and Buying Jakes, and also stream that new Tyler. But yeah, that's us from the Best Kept Secret podcast. Shout out for joining us today. It's definitely been a nice one. And if you have anything that you want to share about this, just drop it in our Instagram, our X, whatever it is. Even email us if you need to. But yeah, I was Mpilo My Just on this episode, and I was not alone. I was joined by the brethren, the Pradas, CZ Ray and Dwayze on Blaze.
Yes,
so
sir.
From me, until next time, deuces. Yo, that's a first.
Peace and love.